have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Show. Thank you, Sister Kenny. Thank you to Elation Radio for having the song. Yeah, today's October 21st, 2022. You know, it's been a whirlwind these last couple of months for me. It's been a whirlwind. God has been moving. The devil has been trying. You know what I mean? Lots of things have been going on. You know, I got a question. I have to sometimes channel my own take my own advice, I'll say it like that, but how many of us here lately are just tired, just kind of fed up? How many of us are struggling? And I say that because, like, in lieu of all the great things that are going on in my life, there are still some major struggles. And I had dinner with a friend last night, one of my sisters in Christ, and we hadn't laid eyes on each other probably in a few years now. And she's like a big sister to me. And I didn't even realize there were some things from my past that I was still struggling with. You know, like some life challenges that I experienced that I thought and I feel like I've overcome, when in reality I've just learned to live with the realities of those things, right? And, you know, we met up for dinner, and that dinner, that was the longest dinner I think I've ever been on. It was, I think we sat in the restaurant for about 3.5-4 hours. Let's put it this way, we closed it down last night. And it was a great night. But again, the recurring theme in our conversation, because we talked about the good stuff, but in the back of my mind, I always saw the struggle. How many of us tonight, how many of us know that the struggle is real? You know, some of us are going through, I think all of us are going through some struggles right now. You woke up this morning, your alarm clock went off, you woke up, you hit that alarm clock, maybe you went back to sleep, maybe you dragged yourself out of bed, maybe you made it to the shower and then got dressed and headed on to the office. But how many of us know that there's a struggle there? How many of us feel like our lives are just a mess right now, right? Because I'm telling you, I know that there are some of us out here that know there's no good way to say it. Some of us just need to look in the mirror and admit to ourselves, my life is a mess. And it seems like every day there's a new challenge piled on top of the mess I already got going on, right? And we know that we're going to face challenge after challenge. Now, to me, that's not that bad of a thing. The part that really makes it difficult for me is sometimes I don't know if I'm going to be able to overcome it. In the moment, I don't know if I'm able to overcome it. How many of us have said that here lately? Right? But see, I catch myself in those moments because I know there are some struggles. I have some hardships in my life. But I catch myself in those moments. And check this out. I say to myself, today, when the mess comes, when the mess shows up, I'm going to take this as a challenge. I'm going to take this as an opportunity, right? I'm going to take this as an opportunity for me to overcome this small situation. Instead of adding to the challenges I already have, I'm going to take this moment as an opportunity for victory, an opportunity for me to grow, right? And so I like to think that as I go through life and as we all go through life, that we're, you know, again, we're going to see some opportunities that are, you know, we're just going to fail. We're going to be defeated. There's going to be some loss, right? But I think that it depends on our choice. And in our choice, we have to have a positive response. And that's that overcoming thing, right? And so I was just thinking about all of that from dinner last night. And I was like, man, the struggle is real. I hear young people saying, I'm like, yeah, I don't know no struggle. You're a teenager. You don't know no struggle, but they know their struggle. But I reminded myself today, and I said, somewhere I read in the Bible, Jesus said, don't worry. Right, somewhere in the Bible, I know I read that, and he said, don't worry about tomorrow. And I'm like, don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because in Matthew 6, it says, it's going to be my remembrance. Each day has enough trouble on its own. And I'm like, really? And then I go back to my whole thought that I just said. I said, well, but I'm going to be challenged every day. And then I remember reading the scripture, 1 Peter 4:12, where Peter writes, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. Yeah, that's what he said. Then he says, as though something strange were happening to you. Listen to what I said. He said, look, dear friend, don't be surprised for this painful trial that you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. I'm like, what? See, it reminds me of this, that it tells me don't be surprised when the tests and the trials and the challenges of everyday life come to you. See, because look, life itself is a big challenge. I mean, look, if you wake up in the morning, every day has a challenge. I know sometimes, especially when I was a young man, the first challenge I faced every day, the first challenge, and when I don't get out of this bed, right? So I want everybody to know, before we get too comfortable in our lives, before we get to telling ourselves some things that ain't always true, look, there are absolutely no exceptions. Every day starts with a challenge, right? There are just absolutely no exceptions, right? Now, you know, I like to look at it like that because I don't like to take myself too seriously. So I want you to look at some of the challenges that you face every day. And I want you to understand that some of these challenges are going to be more serious than others, right? Like I remember with my church, we would have church members in the hospital. I would have to go visit these church members. And then for me, it expanded outside of my church. It was some of the friends, some of my acquaintances that I knew. And then it expanded to, I remember one time being in a store, and the lady who was waiting on me, her coworker, she, I don't know how we got on the subject, but she found out I was a minister. I don't know exactly how it came about. And she asked me to pray for her coworker. And so, you know, I'm learning to be prepared for everything, right? Right? Because there are some people facing life and death situations. The coworker she asked me to pray for, it was a lady who was morbidly obese, like, wow. And she had gotten some bad news from the doctor, and she didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And this was 3 years ago, and I just so happened to go back to that same store location about a month ago, and the lady was still there, so I got to speak to them. It was like a little reunion. But no matter how serious or how silly the challenges that we face are, we have to face them, right? Because what? Why? Because like the young people say, the struggle is real. You know what? Last night I realized I was struggling in life, and so. With these challenges that we are faced with, we need to understand that there is an ongoing spiritual challenge. That's right. Think about it. When we're young, we get mad and we want to hit stuff, kick stuff, throw stuff, say stuff. But there is a spiritual battle, and we know that our physical beings cannot do it. When we struggle with the devil and we're trying to overcome and overcome his temptation, his threats, and we're trying to make these holy, these righteous choices, we struggle with our own conscience. Our own flesh sometimes gets in the way, and we keep trying to resist temptation, right? And what happens when you try to resist temptation? What does that mean? That means that you are in the midst of something. You are struggling at that moment. The battle is on. But I want to tell y'all, in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, man. What does that mean? See, I'm going to use an example. How many of us have seen the movie The War Room? The War Room. If y'all haven't seen that movie, or if you haven't seen it in a while, go check it out, right? Because I see a lot of truth in that movie. And basically, the battle is on, right? The enemy is trying to destroy you. He's trying to demolish your faith. He's trying to undermine all your trust and all the hope that you have in God, right? Why? Why does the enemy do this to us? Why do we struggle? Why am I having these struggles? I tell you why. Because he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the devil does not play by rules. He has every means, everything for him is fair game. Any means necessary to carry out his plan, he is going to use. And like I said, he don't fight fair. You know, he don't come with conventional weapons. He comes and he undermines everything you thought you knew, every good and righteous thing you thought you understood. You thought you can deploy these weapons. But he comes, and I'm going to tell you now that he's patient. He's patient. He knows that he's going to strike a nerve at some point. That's right. But I tell you what, no matter how cunning and no matter how crafty and scheming that the devil is, the Bible refers to them. He's a great deceiver. And he lets us know that the Bible lets us know that he's come right here. He's come. I mean, you never know. The devil he walks right up to you to deceive you wherever he can, whenever he can, right? And so I even believe that the devil challenges God over who it is he can kill. You know, God lords over us, and we need to invite him to lord over our lives, because the devil is going to challenge you. I mean, if he's bold enough to challenge God, I mean, really, do we really think we can do anything to him? And I believe the devil's challenge is like this. When you think about the challenge, because like I say, every day I wake up, there's a challenge for me. The first one is to get out of that bed. I make that may not be much, but some challenges are just smaller than others. But think about a challenge. Think about if the challenge is this right here. The challenge is to live a life of faith, to trust and obey God. And as you're living this life and you're trusting God, it doesn't matter the circumstance, but you keep those things front and center. So the challenge to live a life of faith, to trust in and obey God regardless of our circumstances. Now, here's our reality. This is the thing that gets us sometimes. Because it's good when you can first get out of bed. It's good. I've heard people say, when a saint's feet hit the floor in the morning when you get out of bed, the devil ought to be shaking in his boots and, oh, Lord, here they come, right? But the reality is this. We're going to be challenged. We're going to be oppressed in some kind of way, right? The thing is, will it be by your own flesh, right? Right? Or will it be by the world and by the devil? Where does that challenge come from? But I'm telling you this. When I do get up, because it's kind of weird, when I do get up, I decide, cause, you know, the minute you get out of that bed, I have to make a decision, right? I have to make a decision to face these challenges. I still ask why. Because think about this for some of us who are new, or some of us who've been around and studying the word for many years. You know, some of us, I know like me, I thought when I became a Christian, I'm going to have no more problems. Man, the devil can't challenge me like that, right? God is going to stop all this nonsense. God is going to prevent me from having to deal with these crazy struggles that I'm dealing with. But I think what happens is rather than keeping us from facing the struggles and the challenges, I believe that the Lord wants us to redeem and repurpose these challenges, huh? For our good and for him to get the glory. You know, when you know that you can overcome something, you spend a lifetime overcoming. You spend a lifetime doing the right thing. But see, every day for us, there is a certain amount of renewal. And when there are problems, you know, we know that it is only by his stripes, only through God can we overcome, can we be overcomers. Because Jesus said in Luke 13:24, he says, how does it go? Strive to enter through the narrow door, because many will try to enter and will not be able. Look, listen, make every effort to enter through that narrow door. In other words, take the road less traveled. Everybody can do it, right? But Jesus said for us to try. He says for us to strive, to make every effort, because we're going to be challenged. But we cannot let the challenges discourage us, because I'm telling you, I believe that God wants to redeem us and repurpose us for everything. These challenges, he's going to see us through it. He's going to see us through it, and then people, your faith, your confidence is going to be elevated. People are going to come in contact with you, and you are going to be walking in the presence of God, and they are going to be blessed. And throughout all of that, God will get the glory. And so when I got up this morning, and I was going on my day, and everything seemed to be going well, I was preparing for I'm preparing for a move, and I got all these things going on, and I was just doing fine. I was having a great day, and then I started to get one piece of bad news, then another piece of bad news, and then another piece of bad news. But I tell you what, the truth is that an unchallenged life will remain unproductive and unfruitful. How many of y'all ever heard that? Think of it for those of us, for those people who may work out or who are challenged intellectually with school or whoever. Look, if you're not challenged, all right, if you're living an unchallenged life, it's going to remain unproductive and it's going to be unfruitful. And I'm going to tell you why. There's no incentive. You see, when challenges come to us, I think it's the challenge that motivates and moves us into action, right? I think it's the challenge that produces that passion that we feel, that prompts us to get up and fight. And not just fight any fight, but fight the good fight of faith, right? It causes us to persevere through things that we didn't think we could go through. It channels us and it challenges us to never give up, because we're all wanting to get to that place in glory. We all want to be walking with God. And for those of us who may not even understand or know God very well, I'm telling you now, if you've ever said a prayer, even if you haven't, just by virtue of you being on this earth, God knows your name. He knows who you are. He stands at the door. He's waiting for us, right? And so I want you to think about this. As what I was saying, challenges, they produce passion. They cause us to move. But you know, a thought is to say that it's the challenge that causes us to rise up, right? It causes us to rise up to the occasion. That challenge causes us to discipline ourselves. It's the challenge that causes us to pursue excellence in our walk, right? You know, personal testimony, you guys have heard this before, but I had an accident, and I had this traumatic brain injury, right? And with this injury, I have problems multitasking. So I started reading books about the brain and stuff like this. And there was one book I read, and the author says, our brains weren't meant to multitask. And I was like, what? I read it several times. And it says, your brain is not meant to multitask. We're meant to do one thing at a time. You do that one thing, you do it very well, you do it quickly, and then you move on to the next thing. I tell you what, when I read it, I was like, I don't understand how true that is. But I tell you what I did do, because I was feeling like a failure, because I felt like a handicap. Right, I felt like I had issues. It caused me, the challenge of me learning to get back to a mental capacity of where I was before my accident, it caused me to move, right? And I tell you what it did. It made my walk with God stronger, first and foremost, because I couldn't do it on my own. Secondly, I had to discipline myself, and I was pursuing this level of excellence that I could not do on my own. And then what happened was I started to be able to do the one thing at a time, because I got the reassurance from this book that my brain wasn't really meant to multitask, and I started to adopt that way of thinking. And I said, okay, so Cedric, instead of trying to do four or five things at one time, you need to do one thing at a time. And I tell you what, I know this sounds strange, but it's just a little of what overcoming in your life can do for you. But it motivated me to do one, and it motivated me, check this out, I started back school because I felt like I was slipping on my job. And now I'm not just in school because, you know, y'all heard the saying, C's get degrees, but see, I don't have to worry about that because I'm still making A's all the way through. And it's every day that I go to class, every day that I do my classwork, I feel like I have overcome something, right? And it's not about me. God gets the glory because I am so thankful to him, because I'm telling you, sometimes for me, that's a huge thing, but for most of us, it's no big deal. You can multitask, you can do things, but for me, it was huge. And so I think that what happens with some of our challenges, we have to really be careful because it's that challenge that may just turn out to be a necessary thing in our lives. You know, it could even be a good thing. The good thing about what happened to me was it made me refocus on Christ. It has made me really, truly open up and say, you know what, God, thank you. I've become more thankful even for the little things. And one of my friends was telling me during the week, something crazy happened, and where I would have normally gotten upset, I was calm. I was like, "Yeah, it is what it is, but we're gonna work this out." I was very thoughtful. It was like I have started over the last 2 years to truly learn to think before I act, and my attitude, my whole attitude. Seems to, and this is what my friend was telling me. To me, it ain't no big deal. I'm the same, but my friends are telling me, no, you're really different. So, but I'm allowing myself to look at the situation before I react to it. And yet I still have challenges. Like, let me share something with you. And when I share, I want to share just a couple of quick observations of some scripture that I have. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 7 and 1. And in Deuteronomy 7 and 1, you'll find that the Lord is speaking to the Israelites, right? And he's speaking to them about how they're going to drive out the nations from the land that he's going to give them, right? So God is giving them some land, and he's talking to them. He's like, you're going to... And then think about this. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Totally. I'm going to do that one more time. I just want to read that one more time. I'm actually reading this. This is not from memory. I'm reading this. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Why is that significant? I want you to notice how this works. God will drive out the nations and deliver them over to you, right? But check this. I want you to hear this part. But you will defeat and you must destroy them. Just think about it. God is doing it, but he's doing it through the Israelites. You see, God is doing it, but he's doing it through the Israelites. And right there, there's the challenge. The Israelites have to face the enemy and fight the battles, but God has assured them of victory. So when challenges come, and here's the lesson for us. God is going to be faithful, and he's going to he assures us of ultimate victory, but we will have to face the challenges and fight the battles. That's the thing. A lot of us, we struggle years and years and years because we are waiting for God to do what he commanded us to do. He's already assured you of the victory. We need to stand up, and we just need to move forward. And I think we need to take this every day of our lives. We need to not sleep on this. Because the struggle is real, y'all, right? That's what we said. So young, the struggle is real. I've been hearing that for years and years now. I never use it personally, but I felt it last night. I felt it this morning. I feel it right now, where it says that he is going to drive them out. We just have to get up and do what he says. And for me, that's a very powerful thing, because when you get to 7 and 22, it says that the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you. What? So what he's saying to him is this: you're not going to be able to eliminate them all at once, right? But God had promised them the ultimate victory. But you know what? When God makes a promise, there's a process that's involved. Y'all do understand that, right? There's a process involved in God's deliverance. So as we talk about the Israelites, there's a process involved in their deliverance. It was going to happen over a period of time. And the challenge is going to be right here. It was going to remain in front of them. And not just that, it was going to remain in front of them. And they were going to have to continue to fight the good fight. See, some of us, we keep saying, God, remove this thing. God, take this. Well, God, why haven't you? And we get frustrated because we're tired of fighting, but that's because we're trying to do it in our own fleshly might, and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take hold. We're not allowing God to go through his process in us. And so we want to get upset, right? Right? But the Israelites, they would have to continue to be obedient and continue to trust the Lord. Right? Not only just trust God, but they had to trust him in his timing. Each and every one of us has to do that. We have to trust God because everything works in his timing. But I get it, because the question I ask was why? You know, God, really? Why you just can't take this out? Because when you go back and look at the Israelites, we go back to chapter 7, verse 22, he said the wild animals will multiply around them. But I know what you're probably thinking. Well, I know I'm thinking it. Well, God, if you do it, it'll clear the land faster, right? And then we can go ahead and claim it. That's what the Israelites had to be thinking. God, if you do it, God, we can go ahead. The land will be cleared a lot faster. We can go ahead and claim it for ourselves. We can go ahead and possess the land. Like, we can go ahead and move in, set up shop, start plowing the fields, right? But that's not how God works. They had to trust God's timing. They had to trust. You don't believe me? Okay. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit, and I'm kind of doing these scriptures on the fly. I just looked at them, but we're gonna move forward, right? Right? Because now let's jump up into Judges. In Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we know this. In a number of years had gone by, and the nations had been driven out. A little bit at a time, right? They did little by little. But check this out. Judges 3, 1 and 2, basically, but let's go. It says, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. What? Yeah. You see, he did this to teach the warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not ever seen any battle. Right? And think about this. He said this right here. He says, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. See, think about this. Now, some of us think like this, but if you were the Israelites back then, what would you be thinking? See, I know I would have been thinking like, why are we having to go through this again? Why are we having to do this? You know, I thought we were supposed to enjoy the peace of the land of promise. God, you promised this to us. You allowed us to come and inhabit the land. We're supposed to be living in peace right now, but why we got to go and fight, right? You know, because that's what I be thinking. Every day we wake up, I know a lot of us feel like that. We've overcome a situation with our boss at work, and everything seems to be going good. That was on Monday, but here it is Friday, and now we got to fight again. How many of us go through that, right? But check this out. When you look at the Israelites, when you go back and you look, you have to ask, why didn't they get rid of all the people when they first entered the land? It's the promised land. God told them to get rid of all of them, right? Then you got to think, why did they have to do this a little at a time? You see, I want to tell y'all this. The reason this keeps coming up is because there's a purpose, right, in this ongoing challenge. There's a purpose when I wake up every single morning and my challenge is to not hit the alarm clock and I got to get up and go take a shower and get on my day. You see, in the case of the Israelites, they had the younger generation would have to learn to fight. Why would they have to learn to fight? So that they could keep their father's land, so they could secure this land for their own selves. You know what I'm saying? So it's important for us to know how to fight, but not with flesh and blood. It is important for us to learn how to fight with the Spirit and let God handle our problems. And I do my best. I do my best. Just like the Israelites, we found that they would have to continually depend on the Lord. They couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't stop depending on God. And I think that's why God allows these trials to come to each of us, because we need to continually depend on him, right? And this particular challenge will require them to call upon God, to ask him for his help, not just help. See, a lot of us want to call on God just when we need help. Sometimes we just need to call on him for his wisdom. Sometimes we need to just call on him, just to practice calling on him. Some of us, we're too prideful and we don't want to, life is too hard. I can't overcome this. We get in, we have a pity party. But I think some of us just need to practice calling on God so we know how to do it when it's time to do it. Because again, just like the Israelites, there's a purpose in this. These challenges in our lives come, and there is a purpose, I'm telling you. I like to say amen, like saying, well, I'm going back to the old Baptist church in Dallas now, because that's what happens. We have to do that, and it's very important. It's very important because for the Israelites, there was purpose in the challenge. There was purpose and everything they did. God didn't cut them. There were no shortcuts. I don't believe that there are any shortcuts with God. You either do what he asks, do it the way he asks, and continue to do it until in his time and he decides to change it. That's just how it works. We can't shortcut. We can't borrow. We can't bargain with God, right? Yeah. I want to tell you, life is a challenge. Don't let that throw you off, though. Don't let that get you all twisted up in knots. Because, again, the challenges that we face, you could say the challenges are maturing, right? They're empowering. They're clarifying. And what they do for us, you know, they are perfecting events in our life. You know, think about it. Again, I use examples when somebody gets hurt. When you break a bone, they say that the bone heals, and at the point where it heals, it's harder to break at that point. You can break your arm again, but you won't break it in the same place, because when that bone heals, it's a lot stronger than what it was before it broke the first time, right? I want you to hear this. Because I want you to understand that in the Bible, it says that, here it is, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Yeah. For those of y'all who want to read the King James Version, that's James 1, 2 through 4. But you know, you got to count it all joy when we face these challenges. You know, we don't count it all joy because, you know, we don't want to go through life bitter. You know, how many of you have ever run a race or competed in any sort of event or played a game and you won first place? That made you feel good. I mean, you know, you want to tell people about it. You know, it could have been field day in elementary school. Now, some of y'all know I'm dating myself, but some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You went out there and you was in a potato sack race. You couldn't run because your feet was a little twisted up, right? You ain't have no muscles, so you couldn't do pull-ups. So you got in the potato sack race, and you and your partner got placed. You was happy. It was still a challenge for you. You had a great time. I'm saying that to say that look, no matter how trivial, no matter how small you may think the challenge is, you should celebrate it. And not celebrate it by bragging to other people, but celebrate it by knowing that God has your back. That's right. Because also challenges come. Challenges can come and they can be overwhelming. They can be so overwhelming, right? But when you look at it, just think like this, you know. I know some of y'all, I don't know. I remember as a kid, we lived in a house and we were moving to another house. And somehow everything got mixed up. So we didn't move all of our furniture into this house. It was a nice, bigger house. And then when we got moved in, something happened with my mom and the landlord. I just don't know. It was with my parents. And my dad called because he had to work that night, and my mom both had to work that night. And they called myself and my two brothers, and they said, "We just moved all this stuff in the house, but we got to move it out. We got a different house we're moving into." What? We've been moving all weekend. And you want to talk about feeling defeated and feeling overwhelmed? Because here we are. We're all teenagers. My oldest brother's a senior in high school. I'm in the eighth grade, about to go to the ninth grade. And then my brother that was a year older than me, he was a sophomore. So it's just three of us. We don't have no direction from our parents at this point because they had to be at work. But we had to move everything from the new house to another house. And I tell you what, you talk about overwhelming. You talk about feeling defeated because we were exhausted. We had been doing this all weekend, and now we're called to do this. Everything that took us a whole weekend to do, Saturday and Sunday, we had to do Sunday night. And it was horrible. And so anyway, to make a long story short, I know what it feels to be overwhelmed. I understand. But we got to look at them. We got to look at them. And then we got to think. Because when these challenges come upon us, I talked to a young man who's in rehab right now, and drug addiction. It's crazy. His dad has tons of money. He's elderly. He's about to pass, but this boy, he's on all kind of drugs, and he's struggling to get off. And he said, you know, it's one day at a time, and he's feeling really upbeat, so I understand. And he was just like telling me yesterday that it's just overwhelming at times, right? And he said, I can't do this no more. Right? He said, I can't do this no more. I can't endure this no more. This is too difficult. And I said to him, I don't even know why I talked to him yesterday. I said to him, you got to understand and you got to look into what you're going through, but you need to understand that these challenges that you're going through is about more than you can recognize right now. And he gave me this strange look. I said, look, you ain't going to see it. You're not going to see it right now, but this ain't just about you kicking this habit. Mm-mm. This ain't just about it because this urge is going to show up or this challenge is going to show up, and it's going to be more and more intensified. And what we're going to want to do is you're going to want to run. But here's the thing, and I told him, you can't see the growth. You can't see how God is perfecting you. And that perfection, every time you overcome it one time, it's a recurring process. It happens again and again And again, and all of a sudden, you don't even recognize it, but you no longer have this urge anymore. You see, because in the moment, all we can see is that we're all tired. I'm tired, Lord. I'm tired, God. Mama, I'm tired. Brother, I'm tired. Wife, I'm tired. Husband, I'm tired. World, I'm tired. And we don't even feel like facing nothing else. We say, I can't face another challenge. I just want you to know this. I just want you to know this. Because when you get to this point, you know it's God. You don't have no more fight left in you. The challenges of life are beating you down. You just, I quit. And that's a good place to be. I want to encourage you when you get there, because that's a really good place. Because remember that always about more than what you can see. You know, if everything in the kingdom of God was made known to us, really, what kind of God is that? If I can figure God out, and I'm telling you, I got an IQ that ain't too high. If I can figure him out, anybody can, right? But my word is, don't quit. Because there's something else. There's something else. I mean, if you want inspiration, I mean, there are so many people in the Bible, right? Think about this. Think about this. When you think about Abraham, Abraham was promised. He was promised an heir. Right? He's like, oh, God, I can imagine when he was so, you're going to have a son. He thought, wow, I'm just having a son. But it was about more than just having a son. It was about more than just having an heir. It was about, man, it was about the Messiah being born through his lineage. See, y'all don't get that. I want you to get it. It was about the Messiah being born through his image. See, I think it was about teaching us to live by faith. We gotta have faith, right? So we think about, I don't know, let's think about Joseph. Think about Joseph. He's one of my favorite men in the Bible, I will tell you, right? When his brothers betrayed him, he had to think it was all about wickedness, right? They betrayed him and then they sold him into slavery. You know, I'm certain he was thinking about how unfair life was, right? I'm certain that he was in that hole at some point, and he was thinking, man, they forgot about me. Ah, man, what about when he got out? You know, now he's up. He's in slavery, but he's doing well. And then all of a sudden, he gets thrown in prison, and now he had to have been thinking, ah, man, I'm in this prison. But you know what? I done told his interpret his dream for this guy, so I know he's going to come back for me, but he don't come back for him, right? But even then, it was about more than what he could see. If you think about it, you know, it was about that. You know, a lot of us, we call it long-suffering, but I'm gonna replace that word with perseverance, right? You know, as people, and we learn this from the Israelites, that it was about persevering. It was about the people in Israel persevering through the famine, and they was hungry. See, all of us, we're hungry to get out of these situations. We want to be hungry for God, and it's all good. When we're having those feel-good moments, we can do what God says. The challenges of life don't bother us that much, do they? You know, we do fine. But think about this. When you look at Joseph, it wasn't about him and his brothers. It wasn't even about his family at all. Nah, Joseph went through all of that because it was about fulfilling God's plan for his people. It was about saving an entire nation, not just so one man could have glory, so one man could overcome, but it was for an entire nation. See, when we go through these things, I need us to understand that it's always about more than us. It's always about more than what we look at that moment. You look in the mirror and you see one individual, but God looks at you, huh? He has a plan for your life. Y'all know how it is when God has a calling on your life. You know, you understand it's about more than you. Yeah. Yeah. So you can imagine Israel, they saying, God, you gave us this land. And that's what they're thinking about. But they were, I imagine they wouldn't realize that it's more than about you possessing this property. It's about a lot more than just this land, right? It's about the covenant. I remember one of my favorite preachers, I ain't even gonna say his name, but he made a song. They made a They made a CD, and on his song, one of his songs was Remember the Covenant. Right, I remember that. Remember the Covenant. See, I'm reminded that it's always about the kingdom, and it's always about God. It's always about Jesus, and that he was going to be coming to save the Israelites from their sins. And Jesus wants, man, I'm telling you, God wants to save all of us from our sins. But you got to remember, it's about a whole lot more than what you can lay your eyes on. It's about a whole lot more than what you see. And I know we're getting short on time, and I'm going to do my best. I got about 10 minutes, but I want to say this, that there's a lot more at stake here than you facing a challenge and about you calling it quits right now. You know, I know some of us, our marriages aren't working, right? The life that we chose for ourselves, and we're like, God, this ain't the life that I thought it was going to be, and we just want to quit. Some of us, we just want some peace. We just want to experience some happiness. Believe me, Cedric understands, but I'm telling you, you're not going through this just for you. You're not being tortured by God. He doesn't do us like that. It's about more than you can lay your eyes on right now. It's about more than you can even think of, right? There is so much more on the line for us. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to get to be with God for an eternity, that eternal existence, that's what's at stake. It's about more than what we're going through in the moment. Think about it. The devil wants to take your soul for eternity. He wants you. Right? And because you know that he is gunning for you, that makes the stakes so much higher than you could ever think of. That if you put your life in perspective and you see the problems that you're facing, the struggles that you see every day, if you put it in perspective as this is an issue with my eternal soul, man, these problems don't seem so big no more, do they? Because it's a moment in time. So right now, I'm telling you, it's about being faithful. It's about being faithful right now. It's about starting to hang in there and do the things that God wants for us to do. Because right now, eternity is the next step for us. That's where we're going. Right? And think about this. Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. When you was in that potato sack and you was running that race and you won first place, everybody said congratulations, even the athletes who didn't even think that was a sport, right? Everybody congratulates you. Imagine that's what heaven is doing. Heaven is cheering for you. Heaven is cheering you on. He said, obey God's word, right? Trust God at his word. So when you get tired and you start thinking about that and you understand what's at stake, hey, you can do a little bit more. Because us dealing with the challenges this life has to offer is going to affect more people than just you. You don't blame me. Okay. I can't handle the problems of this world. I'm going to get a little graphic in my explanation, but oh well, I'm just going to tell you. I can't handle the problems that I have in this world. So I come home. I yell at the family, throw the dog in the backyard, jump in the car, go to the bar, have a few drinks. Now, I've already affected my immediate household, but I jump in the car, I'm speeding, I'm running through the lights. I actually probably hit my neighbor's car and drove on to the bar, and I got wasted, had too many drinks. Now I'm driving home, and I have a car accident. Look at all the lives I've impacted. See, that's what we do because we're hurting. We are hurting because of life's challenges. So don't ever think that what you're going through doesn't make a difference to somebody else. It really does. And so that's why it's important for us to accept these challenges. We don't want to damage everybody around us. And sometimes we just need somebody to talk to. I know you get to a place where you say, I'm just so tired of this battle. I know you just get to a place where you say, I'm just hurting. I should be able to live the way I want to live. Why? I deserve to be happy. I'm not hurting nobody else. right? Some of us, that's what we do. And it's just a conversation tonight, and I apologize if I'm boring some people, but it's a conversation tonight because, you know, I've been struggling. I've been struggling all day long. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been struggling, and I, you know, I feel as God shows me a way to get out, and he shows me what the problem is. Remember I said before, for the last few minutes, right, it's about more than what you can see. My struggles, they affect people other than myself. Anybody who comes in contact with me is affected by my response to the challenges I have. Because the challenge I go through, or we all go through, it might be great, right? The test may be extremely difficult, but listen, the word of the Lord says this: no temptation, it is, now listen, has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, listen to this part, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. Stand up under it, right? See, God is faithful, and because he's faithful, he will provide a way for you. He's going to provide a way for you, for me, for all of us, right? I mean, what was my theme before? He's going to redeem and repurpose every challenge if we just trust and obey him. He does it all, and we do it all for his glory and for his honor. We just got to keep on fighting. Every challenge that comes our way, you got to face it, not in anger. You know, face the challenge, because that's all it is. It's a challenge. Sometimes these challenges are going to be so big. I mean, they're just going to be it's going to take a Herculean effort. But I know somebody who's stronger than Hercules. You hear me? So my advice tonight, I just want to leave y'all with this, you know, just affirm your faith in God. Affirm your faith in God. And understand, I don't believe we can do it alone. So get around some godly people, right? Ask the Lord for discernment of who you should be around. Get with a good church that's teaching Bible. You hear me? Not a whole bunch of other stuff we're hearing, but that's truly teaching Bible, the Word of God. Basic instructions before you leave Earth, right? Somebody gave me that acronym. Well, I kind of like it, but it works sometimes. Because I want you to know that you're not alone. I woke up this morning. I may have a challenge to get out of bed. I may have to struggle a little bit to get through my day. I may have to struggle to keep up with appointments and whatnot, but God made a way for me. See, he made a way because we got these things called smartphones, right? Sometimes I can't remember to put my appointments in the phone. Sometimes I put them in right at the minute I get them. Sometimes I forget and I come back and I put them in an hour later or whatever because I done wrote them down. God has a way. He made a way for me. I can stand up under this challenge of my memory, my short-term memory being bad because that's what he gave me, right? Because I'm relying upon his grace, not my own. Because God said that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, Paul said to that, he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, right? You know, we can all do it. And I have to tell myself every day, you can do this. You can overcome this situation, this quote-unquote handicap that you have right now. You can overcome it. And I thank God that I have some good friends who when I tell them, hey, I'm struggling, but I'm doing good, they say, we know you could do it. We know you can do it. So whatever it is we're facing, I'm telling y'all, just affirm this thing with Christ. Love God. Know whatever it is. Man, whatever it is, you just can't quit. You give it to him and you keep going. You let him fight your battles. Uh-huh. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can do all things. All encompassing, all things. Whatever God wants you to do, whatever he has for you to do is for you. So don't worry about nobody else getting what God has for you. It is for you. And with that, I'm just going to say it like this. I apologize that I rambled on for a little bit, but man, God is so good. He has helped me through some real struggles today. And I'm telling you now, I am feeling much better right now. I just have to say that I love God, and I love the challenges that I face. I am never how do I say it? I'm never going to not be grateful. I may not be grateful in that very moment, but when it's all said and done, I will be grateful that God put this on me because he knew that I could handle it, because he ain't going to give me too much. You know, and when he does give me too much, it's just so that I can fall back into his arms. Some of us don't understand that concept. Sometimes when you fall to your knees, you know, it's his hand now that you're falling in. You lay down, prostrate on your face, you're laying in his hand. You know, you got to think about it sometimes. He's got you. And I know that God has me. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and end our show tonight. Say I look forward to talking to everybody next weekend. God is good. God is great. So you know what I say about this time. You know, you find something you love, you embrace it, and you chase it. And that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric. I want to tell everybody, have a beautiful weekend. God loves you. God bless you. And I'll keep praying for everybody. Everybody have a wonderful evening.